When I hear such stories, I feel sure the elders are describing us and our world today. With the few exceptions of isolated cultures and remote pockets of tradition that remain, our civilization certainly places its focus more on the world around us and less on the world within us. Is it possible that when we see the remains of advanced civilizations like those of Egypt, Peru, or Chaco Canyon, we're actually seeing the remains of a technology that's so advanced that they no longer needed the toasters and the VCRs? Maybe they outgrew the need for a cluttered and complex outer world. Maybe they knew something about themselves that gave them the inner technology to live in a different way, something we've forgotten, as the elders suggest. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars each year defending ourselves from disease and trying to control nature. In doing so, we have perhaps strayed further from our balance with the natural world than ever before. The elders tell us that our cluttered world serves a purpose. Once we remember who we are, we will no longer need the machines and our lives will become simple once again. But here's the key. Our lives will become simple because we've achieved the sophistication that frees us from the technology. So, rather than reverting to a primitive way of living, we actually become so advanced in the way that we live that our outer lives look simple to the casual observer. And this is what I believe my colleague and I witnessed that day in Chaco Canyon. Whoever lived in that place knew of our relationship with the sun and the moon, and they knew it with a precision that was not even recognized again until the mid-20th century. The people living there built perfect roads that radiate for hundreds of miles in all directions and could only be recognized when modern satellite images revealed them. Clearly, the people of Chaco Canyon had advanced knowledge, and they used it to make their lives simpler. If this is true, then we need look no further than nature to understand who we are and what the future of a transformed world can look like. Whatever world we bring into existence to be successful, it will have to work for everyone. And I believe this is the key to our future as a species as well. While it's possible to transform our world in such a way that the standard of living is raised for everyone, to do so requires a choice. This choice brings us back to the unspoken crisis that was described as the elephant in the room, the crisis in our thinking. To transform our world to reflect the possibilities that I've described requires a fundamental shift at the very core of the values that we claim as a global community. But once we replace the core value of money, for example, with a core value of quality of life and well-being, we're well on our way. Just to be clear, this is not a statement that money is the root of our problems or that it is bad in any way. Money is simply a means of exchange and, in all honesty, a means that will probably be with us for a very long time. My comment is not about the money itself. It's about us. It's about the way we think of money, the significance we give to money, and the role that we've allowed money to play in our lives. When we make this choice in our lives, and it becomes the standard by which we measure every policy and each action, including the development of technology and the application of science, the tsunami of change will be unstoppable. By reading of these possibilities in this book and others, we ignite the realization of what just such a world can mean. Creating your turning point. Throughout this book, I've shared elements of a lifestyle and a shift in thinking that can help us create turning points of resilience in our own lives. Everyone learns differently, and it's for this reason that I've done my very best to offer different perspectives that allow us to see how these ideas play out in the real world. With the information in the previous chapters still fresh in your mind, you now have everything you need to answer the question, how do I create my own turning point of resilience. The following is a possible sequence of steps, a template that I've designed to help you do just that.